Thanks for joining us today for episode 4 of In the Jar Studios.
Sounds around town.
We'll be discussing steps to a successful career in music. Later on in this podcast, we'll be talking with Papa Joe Britt, a music industry veteran who'll be giving us his opinions on the music industry as he sees it today.
Hi, I'm Paul Solis, and here are some ways to increase your chances of being successful. 1. You must establish a local reputation and have local contacts. 2. You must contact publishers by mail. And 3. Get radio airplay.
Hey, Paul, wouldn't you agree that before you quit your day job and seek a professional career in music, that a band should try to get an objective opinion about their creative talents?
Exactly. You must make certain that you are well rehearsed and record a professional demo, and focus your promotion efforts on a specific market where your music fits in. Be persistent and hang in there. Most of your competitors become discouraged and give up.
You were listening to Shortcomings. And now back to the show.
Sal, won't you agree? It's very important to develop contacts in your local music scene.
Yeah, go out and check out some live bands. Hang out with them. Find out how they got their last gig. Ask them who the booking agent was and send them a copy of your demo. If your friends have a show, you should ask them if they need an opening act.
I couldn't have said it any better myself. Networking is so important in this business.
So now that they've developed a fan base and have their demo, what's the next step?
Well, you can contact public radio and college stations and try to persuade the program manager to listen to your demo. They may actually play it on the air. Have friends, family, and bandmates call in and request your songs. Colleges are especially important because they book traveling performers.
As we discussed in prior podcasts, a demo is a very important tool for the songwriter. A demo is used to introduce a songwriter to a publisher. A publisher uses a demo to persuade an artist or producer to record a publisher's new songs. A performer will use a demo to land gigs, and a composer uses a demo to introduce their music to an advertising agency for broadcast commercials. The ad agency, in turn, will use a demo to show a prospective client what a finished product will sound like.
So a good sounding demo is a must have. Now that we know why we need a good sounding demo, let's talk about promotions. Study the music charts. Find out the names of publishers that are currently handling the types of music you write. Select a dozen or so and locate names and addresses of the publishers. Try Billboard International Buyer's Guide, ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC's websites. They all have listings of publishers on the web. And try soundlink.com.
Now that you have a list of publishers, write a short letter to them requesting permission to mail in some of your songs. Let them know of the attention your songs have received on local radio, newspaper articles written about you, etc. If you obtain permission, then send in a 3 or 4 song demo. Include lyric sheets. Make sure that all your materials have your name and contact information.
Yeah, you want to make sure that anyone interested in your songs will be able to find you.
Include a self-addressed stamped postcard, which states, can you use this material, yes or no? This is very important. A publisher just doesn't have the time to respond to everyone who submits.
This can also be done via email using an electronic press kit, which will be discussed in a later podcast.
Now, if 3 or 4 weeks have passed and you haven't heard anything back from the publisher, give them a call to see if they received your demo. If they did and cannot use it, then don't get discouraged. Just find more publishers and send out more demos.
If you'll be visiting a major music city where there are publishers that deal with your type of style of music, then call them up and try to get an appointment as soon as possible and leave your contact information. Be sure and be nice to the receptionist and or secretary, as they are the first impression and hold the key to the door that you may need to have open. If the publisher contacts you for an appointment, be ready with your demo kit. After you have met with the publisher, be sure to write a thank you note for the opportunity to meet and discuss your work.
Now that you're back in the limelight to stay, you need paragraphs showing the way. And these wheels that keep spinning you thin, honey, this world may not let you win.
You're enjoying the sounds of the Mark Lewis Band.
We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Have you ever wanted to record your music at a studio, but thought, we just don't have the money? Well, In the Jar Studios can help you with that.
Our rates are very reasonable. You can book quarter day, half day, or full day. We have a recording package that fits your needs.
For more information, please visit our website at www.inthejarstudios.com.
You're listening to Demetrius Rail. Now back to
Sounds Around Town.
Now let's talk about getting radio airplay.
Getting radio airplay is not an easy thing to do. They are controlled by the major labels who have lots of money to put into radio promotions. They are given first priority. Let's break it down. There are different levels of commercial radio station. The ones in large metropolitan areas are primary, while those in smaller areas are considered secondary. Most commercial radio stations play one format. Make sure that your music fits the style of the music played at that station.
So do your homework. Information about radio stations, such as names, addresses, and phone numbers, as well as the program directors, can be found online as well.
The programming director is primarily responsible for what is played on the station, so kissing up to the DJ just won't work.
At least not anymore. Start off with radio stations in your immediate local area, within the radius that you'll most likely be able to travel. Hey Al, I've heard that right here in the great state of Texas, we have a governor who has a music office.
Yeah, that's correct. It's called the Texas Music Office, and there's a lot of great information on there. They have a great article on getting started in the music business, and other great articles like making your band a business.
In fact, the Texas Music Office has a listing of all radio stations and their programming. You may want to check with your state's website.
Yeah, they may also offer these services in your neck of the woods. And now, without further ado, here's Papa Joe Britt. Hey Joe, why don't you tell us how long you've been in the music industry and in what capacity?
Al, I've worked in just about every facet of this business as you can. I've played 1,000 gigs, I've run sound, I've written a boatload of songs, recorded, and engineered, and produced, and played record label, and done just about everything except get rich.
Joe, I understand that you enjoyed some success overseas with your band Jolly Roger on the CD entitled Texas Attitude.
Yeah, Texas Attitude did okay overseas. It's a pretty interesting story. I swapped a copier to a fellow that sent some of our albums overseas to some radio stations he had a rapport with. And next thing I know, we were getting emails from the president of the European CMA. And, one kid from Belgium wanted a signed guitar pick. We had some people from England. There was a small pub in England that emailed us and wanted a picture of the band. I don't know why. We're a bunch of old ugly dudes. But anyway, we sent them one anyway.
Gotta give the fans what they want. Joe, tell us what got you into music and recording.
Well, I was almost born in a studio there, Al. I remember when I was 4 years old, I was in my stepdad's studio, Sound Center in New York City. And my mother was recording. She was on RCA, Atlantic, and Lori Records. And she had several hits back in the 50s and 60s on country radio. One was called The Great Philadelphia Lawyer, another one was Rain on the River, and her big song was Rock and Cry, that they made a movie out of. And my stepdad was a sound engineer, and he owned that studio, and he also did some managing. He just got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for his work on Jimi Hendrix's remixed album. They put his console in there and all that. So I've been at it since I was a little bitty kid in some shape, form, or fashion or another.
So, Joe, why don't you tell us some of the locals that you've worked with?
Some of the locals I work with? Well, there's probably been... I lost count, to tell you the truth. I've played with a bunch of people. I've done some studio work for a bunch of people. I was fortunate enough to... do some playing with people like Austin Bill, Keith Bivens, Alan Dossett, Buzzy Smith. My production partners are the Diva, Lucia Daggett, and Beak Mowry, Dan Mowry. We call him Beak because of his prominent nasal appendage. He is a true savant. He is a person that you can put any instrument in front of him, give him 20 minutes, he'll figure out how to play. He's just an excellent partner to have. And Lou is one of the best lyricists that I've run across in a long time. She has a couple of tunes out on Lightning in the Dark, our album on there. I'm hoping I can nail her down to write some more because she really does a good job. I got to work with Skip over at Sunrise Sound over there a little bit. That's where we recorded Texas Attitude, and I did some stuff over there since then, but I've built my own studio, so I haven't been in other studios much since then. I've about quit playing out because I'm getting old and it's too hard to haul gear and all that kind of stuff. And I really like producing, so that's what I want to do for now. I'm about done with writing and recording. I finished 4 albums, and except for some instrumental stuff, that's probably about all I'm going to do.
So who are some of your influences musically?
I guess as far as influences go, my parents were my influence, and that they told me don't listen to anybody. Do it yourself. Do your own music. Do it your own way. Because no matter who you ask, if you ask 10 people what you should do with your music, you're going to get 10 different answers. And none of them are going to be correct because they're not what comes out of your soul, you know. Because an original musician, you can't be taught to be an original, be an artist. I mean, an artist is born. They're not taught. It's not something you can learn. I know people who have master's degrees in music that, and if it's not on a piece of paper in front of them, they can't play it or you know. And it's a stigma.
What was the last project that you worked on, Joe?
The last project we did is Beak and I, Dan Mowry. He's my production partner. We did an instrumental album called Ethereal Plane. And it's kind of an eclectic mix of just, you know, whatever we came up with at the time in the studio. Dan's a 80s California glam rocker dude, you know. And then when you mix that with my more laid-back old country Celtic rock mix of stuff, that we came out with some pretty interesting stuff, you know.
Where can we purchase Texas Attitude or one of the other CDs, Joe?
Again, you just go to the webpage, papajoebritt.com, B-R-I-T-T, and click on the music downloads. We've got a bunch of music on there. I don't know, 3 or 4 from each of the albums. You can, you know, contact us through there to pick up any one of the 4 albums you want, or Texas Attitude, our production album, that we spent way too much money on anyway, is available at mytexasmusic.com, at outstandingmusic.com, amazon.com. We're all over the place with that one. The only place you can get the rest of them, though, is through my website.
Tell us, how can someone become successful in the music business?
You know, talking about how to have a successful career in the music business, today is a hostile environment when it comes to music. In this area, especially tough, because you have so many bands and so few venues. You know, you're competing for gigs, you're competing for everything. And there's really very few outlets for original music in this area. And I am definitely a proponent of original music. I've played in, I can't tell you how many. I call them Mustang Sally bands because every band out there has Mustang Sally in their set list. And I refuse to play in another Mustang Sally band. I will not do it. I would rather sit in my studio and just, you know, record. And if I never sell another CD, that's okay with me.
Do you feel a band has a chance to make it here locally?
If you want to do original music, you've got to go nowadays to where it is. I mean, there's several centers. There's New York City, if you play electronica or adult contemporary, or if you or California for alternatives, you know, the LA scene. Yeah, Austin has an excellent music scene, you know, for alternative and what they call Texas country. Seattle, the grunge rock scene or punk or whatever. But Houston is a rap hip-hop scene, you know, and The major corporations have narrowed the genres down to the point where you've got to go where they are if you want to do anything. They control radio. We did our own radio promotion back in 97. You can't do a radio promotion today. Radio stations are all owned by either directly or indirectly by the Big Five.
Are there any other avenues that one can try?
And the mysterious radio consultant dictates the playlist. And, you know, we were never able to find this mysterious radio consultant because they're always somewhere else up north, or nobody knows who this person is or whatever the case may be. But radio stations were not allowed to play anything outside of their playlist that comes in over the fax every day. So you can forget about that.
So what's your advice to those bands that don't do the Mustang Sally venues?
College radio stations are a possibility. Public access radio stations are a possibility. I'm not sure how much good that'll do you unless you're playing out a lot. Your best bet is still to go out and play and build an audience, a fan base. But it's very difficult to do that here because clubs don't hire original bands. They only hire Mustang Sally bands. So that's kind of the stigma that we're in this particular part of the country. My advice to somebody who has original music is record, 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 and buy a boatload of stamps and send it out to anybody who will listen to it. There's music libraries, there's A&R services online like Taxi, they're a good outfit. Song contests, things like that are good ways of marketing yourself and your music. That's the only thing I can think of to tell you. Well, Al, it's good to see you. I mean, and talk to you again. I've still got a copy of that tune that we recorded over here a couple years ago. I still think you ought to put that out somewhere. It's a pretty good piece of music and has a lot of nice sounds on it.
Well, the band's gone in a different direction now. We have a female singer, and so we don't really do that song anymore.
Happy trails to all of you, and good luck with your music.
It's been a pleasure having you here today, Joe.
So there you have it, people.
Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
This concludes In the Jar Studios.
Sounds Around Town.
If you have any comments about this particular podcast or have a suggestion for a future podcast, drop us a line. Our email address is srtmail@earthlink.net.